This is the BritLit podcast with dramatic readings and dialogues, making British literature fun.
Time for another episode. Here we are with some more book reviews. Today we are looking into the classic 1984 by George Orwell. And we got a couple of groups presenting today. So without further ado, we'll pass them on over.
Hey, this is Kristen.
And this is Melanie.
And we are going to do a reenactment of a scene from 1984. The book 1984 was written by George Orwell. It is set in Oceania, London, and the year of this book is 1949. In 1984, it is based on a society that is run by the party. The party is Oceania's government that controls every aspect of the human mind. The aspects are thought, emotions, and actions. The scene reenactment is about the main characters, Winston and Julia. Winston is a member of the party, but he does not have a lot of power. Winston is very independent 39-year-old. Unlike the majority of Oceania, Winston thinks on his own and doesn't want to be controlled by the party. Julia, on the other hand, in this scene, is a much younger than her lover Winston. Her affair with Winston is not at all out of her character. She once told Winston of her many affairs, and this only made him love her more, because he knew other people were disobeying the party. The purpose of our podcast is to help other high schooler students understand the climax of 1984. We will do this by reenacting the scene where Winston and Julia are caught in bed together above Mr. Charrington's store. This reenactment will be in the form of a new cast set in Oceania, London.
In today's headline, two traitors against the party are captured. A man by the name of Winston Smith and his lover Julia were captured in a room above Mr. Charrington's store in the Pearl District. Mr. Charrington, a member of the party, had been keeping an eye on the two while they met to have an affair in a room he had rented Winston. Mr. Charrington suspected that Winston was a traitor from the time he came into his store and bought a diary. Winston and Julia were found guilty of thought crimes and plotting to overtake the party, along with having an affair. They were captured by the party early this morning while they were still in bed. Members of the party came in and revealed the secret that all the time Winston and Julia thought they were alone, there was really a telescreen hidden behind the picture of St. Clement's Church. After they were beaten for their crime, they were taken to a security facility where they will be held until further notice. We have our own Brienne Drew at the security facility to talk to Mr. Smith. Brienne, what have you found out so far?
Well, I'm here with Mr. Smith to talk to him about what happened. Winston, what made you decide that you could stand against the party?
Well, I don't exactly know. All I know is that I couldn't sit still and let the party brainwash us all.
Do you think the act of disobedience was worth it?
Well, I've been tortured pretty badly so far, but none of that compares to what might happen in Room 101. I'm not sure what's going to happen there, but as of now, I'm confident that the decision I made to stand against the party and their brainwashing tactics was the right choice to make.
Good to know. Earlier, you talked about Room 101. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, it's one of those things that you hear about all your life, but you always hope that you'll never have to face it. I heard that everyone's worst nightmare comes true in Room 101. I sure hope I don't have to go there.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have tonight. Thank you for your time, Mr. Smith, and we will keep everyone posted on this case after these messages from our sponsors.
This newscast is brought to you by the makers of the telescreen.
You're never alone.
Dun, dun, dun.
Welcome back. Earlier today, we told you the story of the traitors against the party. Mr. Smith was taken into Room 101, and we are told that he was tortured with rats, his worst fear. After being threatened to be eaten alive by the rat, Winston caved in and pleads for Julia to be tortured instead of him. The party was then satisfied that he betrayed his lover, and he was free to go.
Today, Brienne was played by Kristen, and Winston was played by Mom.
Hello and welcome to today's show. We'll be talking about the philosophy of 1984. I am Austin.
And I'm Joy.
And we're going to be talking about 1984, like I said. And today the book is a fiction book. And to be honest, it's a pretty good book. And some of the key characters in the book are Big Brother, Winston, Julia, and O'Brien. give more depth into the characters. Big Brother is a person that you never really hear or read about. He's kind of the power of, or the ruler of Oceania, where this story takes place. Winston is a 39-year-old man who is totally like against the control and the government of Oceania, and he is basically the main character, along with Julia, who is Winston's lover, and who's also against the party and for personal reasons. But O'Brien is a guy who is a powerful but mysterious, who Winston believes is part of the Brotherhood. This book is written by George Orwell, and Joy's here to tell us more about the author.
Yeah, George Orwell was from India, and he didn't really fit in. He was in a lower middle class, and he was basically a miner, and that kind of changed his look on the political rulings, and he really hated dictatorship that he saw through, like, the Spanish Civil War, and so he changed and wrote this book basically as a warning against totalitarian.
Well, in the book, there's slogans and posters everywhere where there's slogans saying, like, war is peace, freedom is slave, ignorance is strength. And to basically sum those three slogans up, war is peace is basically just saying, it just keeps the people united. And then freedom is slave is like, I know it sounds funny, but freedom is slave is just saying that, you know, they're free from danger. And, ignorance is strength is just like, it cements the power of authority from, like, the Big Brother. Well, all three of them kind of sum up saying, like, it weakens the independence and, you know, to live in a, like, a fear world, like, their fear of everything, so.
Man, that sounds backward and like an antithesis.
Yeah, it does sound backwards, but, again, it's just to basically, you know, again, form the community or the people together and, you know, be afraid of the Big Brother and the government and the control.
Yeah, it really sounds like they don't have any, like, real knowledge, because Big Brother's basically ruling their minds, and the mind control is, like, where the universe is, and so they have control of the whole universe, and, like, they don't realize, like what 2 + 2 really equals.
Yeah, it is a tough world to live in, but again, they don't have any history or anything. Like, they don't show any, like, pictures or memory, or, like, they don't rewrite the past to, you know, to look like, you know, there was a past or a history. And
yeah, it's like the whole thing of Big Brother's watching you, and they have, like, telescreens always listening in on their conversations, and they use their own children against them as spies in their own homes and take away their language.
Yeah, like in Winston, he always sees posters saying, you know, Big Brother's watching you, and it kind of scares him, or not scares him, but kind of, you know, makes him think, you know, someone is really watching him, and so he has to watch out for everything. And basically him and Julia, you know, have a rebellion party, I guess, and they tend to go against the government and everything just because they want to rebel.
Yeah, and that really wraps up our show.
It does wrap up our show. And to give shouts out to our sponsors, Lifetime Fitness. Go there and pump some iron. So, everyone, this is Austin.
And this is Joy.
And you guys have a good one.
Well, there you have it. Much thanks to Melanie and Kristen, as well as Austin and Joy, for our presenters today. And tune in next time, where we will bring you some wonderful insight, a bit of drama from Taming of the Shrew. So until then, this is the BritLit Podcast.